Mark Snyder, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How about yourself?
Good. It's been a long time no talk to.
Indeed.
Yes.
How's everything up there?
Everything is great up here. How's everything over where you are? Where are you living nowadays?
I'm in New York City.
New York City.
New York City.
Just like I
pictured. Accent.
Yeah, just like
and
I pictured.
And I think we're headed up to a little club. I'm not actually sure. It's in, I think, Northampton, the Iron Horse.
That's right, the Iron Horse, yeah.
Is that near you?
No, nowhere near me.
Nowhere near you.
Hours away, actually.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Never mind.
It's in the western part of the state. But, of course, for folks out there listening, you know, many people probably live out there, so you might want to check it out. What is the date of that concert?
I don't know. It's sometime in September. I'd have to check my schedule. I'm not
well,
sure.
I do know one thing. They can go to LeslieGore.com. And
isn't that the beauty of today?
It's right on there, you know.
It's sort of made life a lot simpler in a funny way. More complicated, but simpler at the same time.
I think it's fascinating. And it's a great thing, too, because people can get a hold of almost anybody through the Internet now.
It's very true. And, you know, then it becomes your option how you want to deal with it. But almost anything you want to say to someone, it's less than 6 degrees.
Exactly.
It's fascinating.
It is amazing. And you got a brand new CD out.
I do. Can you imagine? The last time I was in the studio before making this album was in 1976 with my good buddy Quincy Jones. We did an album for A&M called Lemby by Name. And that's really the last time that I did an album. I've been in the studio for various endeavors, songwriting and parts of compilations and that kind of thing. But this was a whole different experience. And in a funny way, completely different than what I did in my teens, because at that time I was backed by a big, a prominent record company, and now, some 42 years later, we're really depending on the net, and I'm working with a small little indie company, and it's a different world.
It is. And tell me a little bit about Blake Morgan, who did the Quincy Jones' routine on this one.
Blake Morgan is a young singer, songwriter, producer. I've known him since he was about 10 years old, actually. He started out, he was going to be a concert pianist, and unfortunately, I think after hanging around with me a little while, he began to like the world of rock and roll, and at some point, he picked up a guitar and started writing songs, and he's been through the band syndrome, and he's been producing for about the last 5 years, and I've been listening to his work over the last number of years, and the end of 2004, back in November, we got together, as we would do frequently, because we've been friends for a long time, and I listened to his latest album, and I was really impressed. Then he came to me with the idea of doing an album together, and we started talking about material and what we envisioned it to sound like and what we would want to achieve with a new album, and we found out we were kind of on the same page. We were thinking about the same thing, and we started looking at material. In fact, ever since, the title song of the new album is one of the first songs I heard, and it convinced me that this was the album I wanted to do.
There's some great tunes on it, and coincidentally, a few of them are written by you.
Coincidentally, yes.
Hmm. Not the first is well, the first one I heard that I said, wow, that's a pretty good song, and I looked at it and said, wow,
thank you.
You wrote
thank
that song.
I think it's fun.
Yeah. Now, who is Michael Gore?
Who's Michael Gore? Michael Gore's my brother.
He's your brother, okay? Because I know you wrote Out Here on My Own with him.
That's right.
That's
actually,
why I
asked. That was due to the fact he did all the music for Fame, the film when it came out in back in 1980, and he wrote mostly an original score. And I wrote Out Here on My Own with him, and I wrote Hot Lunch Jam also. And that year, he received 2 Academy Awards for his work on Fame.
Now, it's interesting to note that this CD has songs that I've never heard of any of them, except for one. Now, you have another version of You Don't Own Me on this. How come?
How come? You Don't Own Me has been part of my repertoire now for some 42 years, and I can honestly tell you that I've probably never sung it the same way twice. every time I sing it, there's a whole new thought process that goes on because it's such a wonderfully dynamic song. It seems to change with the times, as opposed to, let me say, It's My Party, where you can practically imagine, you know exactly where you were when you first heard that song, and in a funny way, your mind zaps you right back to that place. You Don't Own Me has taken me further, and I thought after all these years that I might have another interpretation in me, which is why we tried to do it again.
And it's interesting on that song, you know, people think of I Am Woman by Helen Reddy.
Sure.
But one of the first, you know, female emancipation songs was You Don't Own Me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
It was really a trailblazing tune, and I love that song.
Great song. And we have to remember the two gentlemen wrote it.
That's true.
Which also makes it kind of wonderful.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, too. You know, I was thinking back to this. You just mentioned It's My Party, and I'm thinking back to when I was a kid listening to it. And the funniest thing is that first of all, folks, if you see the cover of Ever Since, Leslie Gore looks great. But, you know, we think of this 40-something years ago.
I know.
But you were a youngster, too, so you're still young now. But, you know, most people, when I said, well, Leslie Gore's coming on, oh, she must be really old.
Really?
She's not
I know.
Old. I mean, she's not old at all because she was really young when she started out in the business.
I was. Actually, I mean, I'm not that young, but I'm in wonderful health. And, you know, my whole philosophy is you're only as old as you feel. And, you know, what I've been doing all these years, it makes people happy. And making people happy makes me happy. And I think, you know, I've kind of been blessed to be given a job where, I mean, so many people, you know, I mean, like if I were a dentist, how many people want to come see me?
Nobody.
Nobody, exactly. Leslie Gore shows up and hundreds of people come. So I'm having a good life, and I hope that when I get on a stage, I mean, one of the things that I love about what I do is, you know, originally, before we had CDs and records and radios and transistors, someone had to get up in the middle of a circle, and someone had to play the drums, and lo and behold, there was a third element. There was the audience, and this was how we made music. And I like to be able to put it on a stage with a live band and put it in front of an audience because nothing takes the place of that kind of communication. And I think that's what's, you know, that's what I have a good time, and I think I can communicate that to people.
And one of the things that I'm curious about is when you're doing your concerts,
yeah.
I assume that, you know, folks in their 50s are there because we grew up
absolutely
listening to music. But I assume also maybe some of them bring their kids. They must have a pretty mixed audience in there.
You got it. Exactly. We do a lot. I do a lot of outdoor concerts during the summer. Parks in New Jersey, parks out on Long Island. And they're wonderful because very often the city will throw them, and so everyone comes with their beach chairs and their kids and their grandkids and picnic dinners and they're grilling hamburgers, and it's a wonderful time. But I'm really looking very often at three and sometimes four generations of families. And it is just more fun to see usually the people who are my age now have grandkids, so they're bringing their grandkids to share this music, and it becomes quite a festival, a celebration.
I bet you the most exciting thing for you, if you're on the stage, is to watch kids who are young mouthing the words to the songs, like, because they might have listened to it.
That How did you know that?
That must
so
be really
true.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's almost, it's mesmerizing. You watch these kids, and you sort of get, it's a show for me as well. It's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you and perform, but unfortunately, you're too far away. You need to come more toward Boston, you know?
I'm going to get up to Boston. We certainly intend, what we're trying to do with the album, because we're a tiny little company, the concept basically was to come into New York, where I've been the last couple of months, and we've been working at a wonderful club called Joe's Pub, which is attached to the Public Theater, and kind of, you know, letting people hear this album, 120 people at a time, and getting our act together and just having a great time. And after September, we're going to start taking it to Boston and to Washington and to Los Angeles and to San Francisco, one city at a time.
I would suggest that if you come to Boston that you go to, like, the South Shore Music Circus or the Cape Cod Melody Tent.
Oh, I know them so well.
Yeah, because both of those would be perfect venues.
Absolutely, and I adore them. I love working in the Round, and I've played both the theaters, and they're terrific theaters, and I will look into them.
Do you tour at all in, quote-unquote, oldies acts with other folks?
Well, you know, it's not that I'm opposed to it, and on the right show, you know, I would do it. To be perfectly honest with you, those shows are being booked less and less. There are very few oldies, 50s, 60s going out, or even, you know, 70s, 80s is dropping off the edge at this point. There are very few shows that are putting three and four acts together. There is, I'm doing a concert with Gene Pitney at the end of the summer out on Long Island, and that's about the only, I don't know, oldies-related thing that I'm doing, and that's not really oldies-related. Of course, Gene does other material, as do I.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, again, you know, when you're doing new stuff, you want to kind of separate it because you want to be able to play the new stuff. And if you go in doing oldies stuff, most people just want to hear the oldies. They don't want to hear anything new. So it's a little more difficult to play, probably.
No, I'm just finding that these people, I mean, it's kind of fascinating because they're accepting the new music, and they're loving the oldies, too, so I'm sort of getting the best of both worlds.
That is the best. That's the best you can hope for. You know, I was reading something in the paper last year, and I'm going to bring it up because I want you to be able to answer it, because you got some bad press in the Boston Herald last year.
For what?
They said that when you were, I think it was either the last year or the year before, when you were here at one of those circus places, that you're supposed to have a limo or something pick you up, and someone offered you a regular ride, and you wouldn't go in it, and they left you there or something. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't very nice. I was wondering if there was any truth to any of the story that wasn't there.
I have to tell you, Mark, it doesn't even ring a bell, so I'm sort of I have no comment because I don't recall it at all.
Okay, well.
And frankly, my philosophy is, I mean, we asked for a car in my rider. And I insist that we do not put limo down because I'm very happy in a sedan, and I don't find that I don't choose a limo. I just need a ride. So we very often just get vans or sedans. So this limo thing doesn't sound credible to me.
Okay. And the other, you just mentioned rider, and I'm glad you did, because on the Internet they post a lot of the riders for some of the rock bands. And some of them have some amazingly picky things, like, you know, they want, like, you know, grapefruit to perfectly chilled or whatever. Do you have anything in your rider that's kind of interesting, that's unique to you?
No, really not. It's really, I'm just trying to provide for the band. We've got a couple of vegetarians. Everyone likes a certain kind of soft drink. And just make sure there's water available and hot drinks. And on a day where we're rehearsing all day and have a sound check and then go right on stage, I like to try and get a hot meal for my people. Short of that, I don't make them pick out the chocolate M&Ms, none of that stuff.
Yeah, I find it amazing that some people do that, but, you know, everybody's got their own quirks, you know, so I don't hold it against them. I always find it interesting about touring and all that kind of stuff, you know, and what
people do. Well, it's a fascinating part of the business, because it's the hardest part, believe it or not. You know, getting from place to place, whether you take a bus or you try and get on an airplane today, traveling has just become difficult, more difficult than it was certainly 20 or 30 years ago. So it does take a lot out of performers and musicians to get around the country and do what they have to do. So the idea is that when you finally do get on stage, you want it to be as productive and as good a time as you can possibly have. And I think that's sometimes, you know, why acts who are out there on a constant basis, and you know, you find they get a little diva-like because they want to do well, and they're usually working under adverse conditions.
Are there any plans at all for a box set of your music?
Actually, Bear Company, a huge German firm, B-E-A-R, put out a 4 or 5 CD collection about 5 or 6 years ago, with pretty much everything that was in the Mercury catalog, including some demos that never got finished, including some German, French, other versions of songs, and it ran about $100. At the moment, my next venture in terms of recording is going to be probably to try and do a live recording of my show within the next year.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, from talking to many of the artists who've been on the show, if they didn't write the song and they're singing it, their old songs really don't pay them anything. So a lot of them like to re-record the song so they can make money and do it on an independent label of their own.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So is that one of the reasons why you want to do this?
Partially. I'd also like to bring some of those songs into the 21st century. And I think that's what we're doing on stage, because there are no horns on stage. There's no synthesizer playing horn licks or violin licks. It's piano, bass, drum, guitar, and singers. So we've pared it down to the most organic and pure elements that we can get, and that's the way I do the hits as well. So I'd love people to re-listen to the hits in a new way.
It's interesting, you know, when you listen to those hits, and in my head I can hear Sunshine Lollipops and Maybe I Know, and I right in my head as I talk to you.
Great.
And the innocence of those songs and the innocence of that time is hard to kind of keep up with the trend that's going on now, which is completely opposite of that.
True. It's a very it's a tough time for kids, and I don't think I would want to be growing up right now, because it was a whole lot more innocent. Now maybe we were just not aware. You know, when you're 14, 15, 16, it takes a while before you see the scope of life and understand the nature of people's problems. But I think life is considerably more difficult than it was when I was growing up.
It's interesting. I have a son who's going to be 14 soon, and he's got the world by a string.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking kid, smart, and an athlete. And I always tell him, I said, you know what? Why don't I tell you all the things I know about life so that you'll actually be prepared, you know? No, Dad. I'm not interested in that. And I guess he's right. You got to kind of learn on your own. But wouldn't it be nice if we could go back in life and kind of, knowing what we know now, start again?
Oh, you know that. I actually resent having gone to college without a computer.
Hmm.
Now, imagine how wonderful college would have been with a computer.
True.
I can remember nights on end where I'd be sitting typing, which was absolutely my worst skill, and you'd get just down to the bottom of the page and almost make it through, and you'd make a mistake, and that baby would wind up in the trash can. It was torturous.
Whiteout. We lived on whiteout.
Whiteout, I know. You know, drink it. It was so
kids don't know
terrible.
What that is anymore. But it's not only would it have helped in the word processing, but can you imagine if we had access to the internet to get information for all the stuff we had to study for?
Exactly.
Oh,
I mean, I sometimes I really I get angry about it, because, boy, we would have learned four times as much. Now, of course, it's still open to us now, but I get crazy about that. I wish we had had computers then. It would have been really great.
Do you like the technology? Are you online a lot?
I am. I mean, I'm not online a lot, but I do a lot of work through the computer. Mostly, we communicate through emails with my offices and with the record company. And most everyone finds it easier to just, you know, sit down at their convenience and read their notes and get them out.
I must admit, I'm not into technology.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it took me a long, long time to buy a CD. I've been a record collector all my life. I hated the CD thing, and I always thought it was just for record companies to make more money, and I liked the sound of vinyl, but I had to eventually get a CD.
Of course.
And then, you know, DVDs came out. I have a ton of videotapes. Didn't want to buy a DVD, and then I did a promotion with Netflix, and they sent me a DVD player and DVDs, and now I'm hooked on those.
Right.
But I haven't bought an iPod yet. Do you have an iPod?
No, I don't.
So you could load it with Leslie Gore songs.
I just bought one for Blake, as a matter of fact. It was his birthday in July, and I got him one because he wanted one. I'm going to wait and see how he gets on with his. I have a lot of music playing in my head anyway. It's pretty nuts in here anyway.
You have music playing in your head?
All the time.
Really? Anything that I know?
Probably a million things you know. I'm always thinking of old songs. I'm always writing new things. I don't know. I guess I'm just in a good creative period now. And that's when I know it, when I'm, you know, when I'm happy musically, I'm usually happy.
I live in the mid-60s to early 70s all the time. And people call me a trivia nut because I know the answers to all the questions, but that's because I'm sitting there thinking of them, you know? So some of the music of that time is just so much better than anything else coming out. That's why people say, you know, my kids, I hate Elvis, I hate the Beatles, they stink. But you know something? I can't hear them playing Britney Spears 40 years from now, or some of these other crazy mm-hmm. groups and people out there. They're not going to survive in terms of longevity.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be interesting. That's kind of in a way, with this new album, I'm not really... I don't know how to judge success. It won't be on whether it sells 10,000 or a million albums. It'll really matter what people think of it 10 years from now, how it'll fare over that amount of time. And in the same way that I look back at Party or You Don't Own Me, mm-hmm. and you know, and see how they've become classics in their own little way.
Well, you can't listen to classic radio or oldies radio without hearing a Leslie Gore song, so they obviously have held up quite well with time. You know,
as has
Leslie Gore, as a matter of fact. You know, one thing I want to get to you before we before I let you go. And again, folks, the album is called Ever Since, and it's a great one. And you'll want to go get it. It's from Engine Company Records, and actually they have information at EngineCompanyRecords.com, or just go to LeslieGore.com, and you can get all the information on it.
We have some photos they can download. We're streaming some of the albums so they can hear it. There's a my tour dates are lined up, so if anyone's in an area where they can come and see us, that would be great.
And that's just one, I guess, comment. And that is, as I mentioned, you look great, but and I'm in the same age bracket as you are.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the 50s, you know, the age 50s, as opposed to, would you rather be, you know, 30? What was the best age?
You know, I have a philosophy, Mark, that there is nothing in life that's just good or bad. Everything is both. It's sort of an amalgam of Eastern philosophies and my own experiences. In other words, it's my party, this wonderful, incredible experience. It comes along in my life, opens huge doors, but presents problems as well. Now I'm having to deal with celebrity, which as a kid was a new and sometimes difficult experience. Everything is good and bad, and I think that of the 50s, of the age 50s as well. I would like to be 30 years old with the knowledge I have today, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, given what the alternatives are, I think I'll stick with the 50s and, you know, just try and live my life as well as possible, because fortunately I'm healthy, and I believe that's everything. If you're healthy, then you have the world by the tail.
Healthy is half of the life. The other half is finding love or someone that loves you. And
definitely someone to share your life with is a nice factor, but if you don't have your health, man, you really got a problem. Life becomes very difficult, and I know that as we get older, these are things that we're going to have to deal with. So in that respect, I don't love the 50s, because no one told us getting older was going to be so hard. But of course, we're living till longer. So
yeah,
it's good and bad.
So how's the social life for Leslie Gore?
Excellent.
You don't have any children, do you?
I do not.
You do not.
I have a little puppy named Billy, who's 2 years old, who's having a little tummy problems this week.
Ugh.
So I've been watching her very closely.
What kind of dog do you have?
She's a Cocker Spaniel. She was bred in East Hampton, and she's absolutely adorable. She's about 20 pounds. She's three colors, white and chocolate and caramel, and she's got green eyes, and I call her Billy after Billie Holiday, who was one of my favorite singers.
Yeah, we have a dog, too. We have actually a cockapoo.
Cockapoo?
Yeah.
How cute.
They're very, very cute and lovable, named Lucy.
Lovely.
Well, Leslie, it's a pleasure talking to you. And again, folks, you can go to lesliegore.com and keep that bookmarked on your internet so that you can check out and see what's going on.
We'll come and see you in person when we get up to Boston, Mark.
Okay. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.